can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
Don't need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Hey. Hey, you. Yeah, it's me. It's right, I'm back. I know, it hasn't been that long, has it? No. My God, I was uploaded quickly today, wasn't I? Ooh, my stars, my nether regions, my Twitter. Yeah, so I wanted to go ahead and knock this out before the next wave of mutilation hits. No, I'm not feeling self-destructive. That's a Pixie song. You know that. You know that. So anyway, this is the CK quitting episode. What? Anyway, we're going to talk about Charles. We're going to talk about Kailash Eco Village Gardening. Got another two piles of index cards here. Listen. Yeah, I know. That's my thumb. So let me just go ahead and update y'all on Charles, who was the older gentleman who I have been riding the bus with for the past couple of years, who used to have a greyhound dog, a rescue dog that recently died. And Charles and I went to the Rodin show at the Art Museum, which the Rodin show was great, but it was very weird in that, like, it's a sculpture show. So, you know, you do walk from sculpture to sculpture. But what he was doing was kind of just walking around the sculptures and just seemed to be, not really looking at them at first and paying attention. I don't know. It was very strange for somebody who apparently taught art, and he is a painter, and he has some talent. It was just very strange. And we did a whole bunch of walking. Some plans for food didn't quite work out as intentioned. And I'll tell you, he was like a trooper, keeping up with walking and everything, even with his cane and all of his diabetes and his cancer and issues and stuff. But he's also giddy on vitamin B12 shots and testosterone and steroids, I think, too. So that's why he's 66 years old and has a fuck ton more energy than me right now. So yeah, we did the art museum thing, and then he invited me to his apartment for lunch. Or he originally wanted dinner, but I won't go out at night. And so it was like a lunch, and it was, oh, you know, I didn't even write this down. Okay, let me backtrack. So when I was going to go meet him at the Rodin show, I hadn't hooked up my security camera yet, and it was really weird when I left my apartment because there was this car in the parking lot with Washington license plates and its engine running. And I'd never seen it there before. Like, it wasn't somebody that lived here. And I went to the mailbox, and I went back to my apartment, and the engine was still running. And after, like, the stuff that I'd, you know, just been through, I was, like, really just like, ew, like, I'm creeped out. So I texted Charles to let him know that there was, like, a suspicious car and that I was going to be, you know, maybe half an hour late. And I, you know, ended up getting there nearly on time. And nothing was wrong with the car. But it was just weird. I guess because I was just so preoccupied and freaked out by it that to me it was a really big deal. And I guess I kind of wanted somebody else to think it or understand why it was a big deal instead of just saying, like, oh, yeah, that can just, like really, like, blow, like, really, like, leave a dark cloud over your day if you let it. I'm like, well, yeah, I know that, but I also know all the fucking shit that I've been through in my apartment. So, and so then when I was going to his place for lunch, there again had been some stuff with the neighborhood kids on my way over there. they were playing on the corner, and I'm like, fuck, are they going to see me leaving my apartment and like walk back and like tease Millie and stuff? And then I was like, yeah, well, I've got the security camera running, even if they do. But still, that just made me uneasy when I left. And so, again, that's the first thing that's on my mind kind of thing. And so I mentioned it when I showed up, and he's like, oh, yeah, that can really, basically like the same thing, like, oh, that can really hang over your head and blow a mood if you let it or something. And I'm like, God damn, you're not listening to me. Oh. So anyway, now I've kind of like jumped all over with my index cards just by rambling like that. But I think I also mentioned before that I had given him my number last year, my phone number last year, and didn't hear from him except when he texted me or called me accidentally. And then when I called him back, he said, oh, it was an accident. And then I never heard from him again. But now that his dog has died and he's really lonely, now he wants to be friends. And yeah, I do notice that kind of thing. And frankly, I'm glad that I notice that kind of thing now, because for the longest time I didn't. And I've had a lot of shitty people in my world. And if I ever get around to doing that episode, you'll see. Oh, that's not a threat. That's not a threat. It's not even that bad. It's not even that big of a deal. But it's just, anyway, maybe I'll do it in April, because I think that'll be the one year anniversary of when I slammed my giant balls to the wall. So Charles doesn't really seem to have friends. Like, I know he mentioned his neighbors have to help him carry his laundry. Well, they have to actually carry the laundry for him, like up and down the stairs. And so, like, he'll cook food, you know, like, because he always cooks a ton of food, and there's more, you know, when you're cooking for one, you have way too much if you cook a huge portion at once and freeze it, whatever. So he shares it with his neighbors, which is awesome. But I kind of have a feeling that he drives people away, like the same way that I was doing for the longest time when I was in my whining mode and at my worst. And I know it sounds like I'm always whining, but come on, there's a little bit more backbone to it now, don't you think? Tiny bit, maybe a little, maybe with like a little prehensile tail sticking out that I can like flex like a little muscle. Have you ever read Geek Love by Katherine Dunn? Have I asked you that before? So where's the book report? All right. So I think he was, you know, you drive people away when you're being lonely and needy and desperate. And it's completely understandable. Like when I was that way, it was understandable. I'd left my husband. I'd moved back cross country. The city didn't look like it had used to look. A lot of things had changed for the worse, and I had was just like my footing was unsettled, and then it was just like, ooh, look at me, I'm on disability. Well, that's unexpected, and blah blah blah. And his situation is understandably fucked up too. He's got some stage of cancer. He's got, like I said, I mentioned the diabetes. He's had like a, I think he had some kind of like a mini stroke. It's kind of hard to tell sometimes with him when he's explaining things. So he has a lot of health issues, and he's living alone dealing with them. You know, just like I had to call the ambulance for myself when my breathing wasn't working very well. So I understand all that. But that doesn't mean me. That doesn't mean me. Oh, lordy pants. That doesn't make me any more inclined to want to be around it. And that doesn't make it any healthier for me to be around it just because I understand it and can be compassionate from afar. Yeah, that's bullshit. I'm not really being compassionate. I'm just like, I'm understanding and avoiding. But the thing is when you're in that position, then you're just looking at people as comfort providers, and you're not being a good friend to them because you're not actually treating them like human beings and like friends. You're treating them like comforters. And, you know, objectification is objectification in this patriarchal society, man, or something. I don't know. I've been talking a lot today. It's kind of weird because it's just my phone. Even my cat's under the covers. She's had enough of me. So yeah, it's very off-putting. You know, we've all been around those people. We've all been those people. I did learn some interesting things there at, you know, lunch there in his apartment. He tends to repeat a lot of things with his family history, which is really interesting. Like, he really is a super interesting guy. I don't think he has any idea how lucky he is. Like, he was somebody who, when he came out to his parents, like, in the 50s, I think, or maybe early 60s, his dad gave him, I think the book is Giovanni's Room. It's, like, some really, I don't know, very, like, iconic gay fiction work. I'm not explaining it very well. But it was a super sensitive, awesome, accepting thing for his dad to do. And his mom, you know, like, dressed him up like a little dandy. Like, he was saying, like, if, you know, looked at pictures of him, it was like, yeah, it's obvious by the time I'm four. Like, I'm just a little dandy. And so he was like really lucky to grow up in a totally accepting and supportive environment, way ahead of the times, in terms of his parents and that kind of thing. Plus being a white guy. Well, here's why I don't think he really understands just what privilege he had, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm not really putting it very well. Here's an example when I was learning some details about him. He was saying his dad was a doctor, and his dad apparently was really disappointed in him for not following, you know, in dad's footsteps, being a doctor, because when Charles was 16, mind you, he was early accepted to UCLA's med school program. And so he started school, and the last day of class where you could resign and still get all your college tuition back, he resigned, got all of his dad's college tuition money, and went to the airport, like, within the week. And, of course, then he could just, like, walk onto any flight. And he didn't have a passport. He was underage. He just, like, walked on board, like kind of mixing in with this British family with a lot of kids, and fled to England. Yep, he just took off with his college funds and ran away to England. Just because that would be cool. You know, there's a happening punk music scene going on over there. Yeah, one of those. Not like hardcore punk and all that, but just, you know, like, awesome. Like, I mean, he's got, like, great taste. Like, we have a lot of things in common. But part of what he did in England was he bought this really expensive black leather, silver, chrome, vintage lounge curvy chair thing. It's super swanky and super gorgeous, which he was privileged enough to fly it back to the U.S. from the U.K. when he moved back to California, where he's from. Did I mention he's from the L.A. area? Yeah. And I mean, he wasn't born in L.A., but that's where he had most recently lived before moving here. Like so many fucking assholes. Sorry. I'm a bigot. And so yeah, he did that, and he went and saw lots of cool bands and lots of cool shows and cool people and cool people and cool people, and was a junkie for 2 years. Like, at least for a couple of years was doing heroin. He said that that's one of the reasons he's really surprised he didn't end up getting AIDS, because he really was in a double risk group back then. So yeah, and that's just, I know I'm sounding judgy, but that's just such a spoiled rich kid thing to do, you know? Just like fucking take all of daddy's money and run to Europe and be a fucking trust fund kid, basically. That's just, you know, people do grow and change. We're not necessarily who we were when we were 16, but we're a huge fucking seed still deep within us of who we were when we were 16 years old. And I say that because I just know a lot of people who were super fucked up on drugs or promiscuous when they were 16, like super fucked up, and they have just been continually fucked up in one way or another ever since then. Whoa, that was judgy. Maybe I should just get back to my note cards here. But that is part of why his health is so crappy. Because he ate a ton. Like he's really worked hard on his weight. So now he doesn't, instead of needing five insulin shots a day, it's only one. So that's awesome. That's great self-control. I'm talking way too much about this other person. But yeah, he's kind of been his own, as we all are, his own worst enemy. And it's, I know I'm sounding super judgy, but, and I am in some ways, trust fund, but it's just not something I need to like be around. I'm trying to like have people around that are better than me and that are trying harder than I am. Not people that are treading water as badly as I am or worse. And he just kind of has, the air of an opportunist about him. Like he really knows how to quote unquote work the system as it is, as people talk about. And I mean, like there's ways to be really smart, like making your disability income go as far as you can. But he's really researched it out and like knows where like all the food banks are, like which housing to avoid and what to go into and all that, which isn't the opportunistic part, except for when you start, it's hard to put into words. I shouldn't have even gone down that train. But one thing that he did keep mentioning over and over and over again, the first day that we hung out when we were having lunch together and walking around, and then again when I was over there at lunch, was how keen he is to have a roommate, so that way the two of them, you know, he and his roommate could move to a bigger place, because he has a housing voucher, like a rent voucher. So his rent would be the same wherever he goes, because that voucher would go towards it, but he'd be able to live in a bigger space if he had a roommate. And his, you know, he's in a one bedroom right now, which isn't big enough for him. I guess. I'm an asshole. Well, and I'm being an asshole just because, like, he kept bringing it up over and over and over again. Like, it felt like he was trying to see if maybe there, like, if I might have some interest in being his roommate since I live alone. And he had said that, you know, he didn't understand why other adults weren't wanting to do this, because it seems like this has been something that he's trying for a while. And I didn't say it, but I was just thinking, like, well, you know, like what other adult living alone would want to trade that in for having to live with another adult that has cancer? Like, you just, who's going to want to take that on? I'm sorry, we're all fucking assholes. We're all trying to get by as best we can. Yeah. And that's where it felt opportunistic to me, because it's like, no, he's not looking for just a roommate. He's looking for a caretaker, which is understandable, but you need to be honest about that. I know, I'm sounding harsh and shitty. But on top of that, he wants another dog. Like I said, he used to have a rescue greyhound in a one-bedroom apartment. Yeah. And now he wants a new dog because he's really lonely, which makes sense. And I guess like one of his, he does have like one close friend, and she's trying to talk him out of it because he's not going to have the energy to walk it, you know, since he's going to be on chemo. And that's when I made the mistake of mentioning that years ago when I lived here, I had a friend on chemo and I would walk her two dogs. And then his face just lit up and he goes, oh, what a great idea. I could get you and maybe like one of the other neighbors that I cook for. Like, you know, like maybe we could all coordinate and brainstorm and you could all take turns walking your dog. It's like, oh yeah. Yeah, because who doesn't want to just walk some guy's dog and then clean up its shit? Yeah, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to do that? And then know that when you bring the dog back to lonely guy's house, he's gonna want you to hang out there for at least another hour. And I know I'm saying that like in a really harsh and shitty way, but it's because that's what I would fucking want if I were him. Of course I would want that. Who wouldn't want that? But you're asking a lot of other people. You're expecting them to want what you want. And that's not how it works. Not for everybody. Not for most people. So when he was talking about the dog thing, I was like, well, you know, you do whatever you think you can handle and be responsible for. I just know that the reason why I have a cat and why I have always had cats is because I don't think it's fair to have a dog unless I have a yard. And I also don't think it's fair to keep a dog crated all day long. Like, that's what some people do that do have yards. They still keep their fucking dog in a crate all day long. It's like, I don't believe in that. So that's why I have a cat. I love dogs so much more, but I don't think it's fair to the dog. And so that's why I have a cat. And granted, his friend who's talking him sensibly out of getting a dog, she has actually given him an adult cat to like at least have company in the house while she raises a kitten to and socializes it and everything to be ready to adopt out. So he'll have a cat. Like, it's not like he has a friend working with him who will very, very helpfully, I know I'm babbling, like give him a very sweet, adorable, socialized kitty, because that's what she does. She's like a foster cat mom and whatever. And the cat that he's, you know, that she's has over at his place now, just to keep him company, Butternut Squash, I think, or just Butternut. But Butternut's a sweetheart, and Butternut came out and sat down by my feet, and I was like scratching his head and hanging out. And at one point, Charles was like, oh, I wonder where Butternut is. You should see her. And I'm like, or him, it's like, he's here. Like, he's been here for like 20 minutes. Like, wow, you're really attuned to animals, aren't you? Like, dude, I know, I'm being cunty. I don't care. So, and like I said, his place is he has a lot of nice furniture and art objects that are valuable and that were really expensive to begin with. But as he said, you just have to invest in it. You just have to buy it when you have the chance. You know, but of course he also completely defraud isn't the right word. He completely bailed out on his student loan because he got a master's degree way late in life. I have a feeling to like it was free money to go to school, and if you don't have to pay it back, kind of like daddy's tuition money that you stole, huh? Kinda, maybe. Anyway, yeah, you do it at 16, and then when you're an adult, okay, god damn it, I'm a fucking asshole. But yeah, and you know, you filed for bankruptcy, which I understand. I did that like 20-some years ago after my first marriage, and I've been avoiding it at all costs. That's why I sold my records, cleared all my credit card debt. Haven't gone into credit card debt yet. Still waiting to use it for one very specific thing. U.S. tour dates of my favorite band. And so I've been living really lean, and I haven't gone to the thrift store. I just haven't done anything frivolous at all with my money beyond like getting coffee and a coffee cake when I go to book club like a nerdo. And so we were, you know, like window shopping at this awesome junk shop in the neighborhood. And there was this really cool painting, not, you know, like living room art, weird vintage thing. It's hard to explain. And And it was just awesome. Like, I could just was like really enjoying looking at it. And he was like, oh, you should find out how much it is. Find out how much it is. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter how much it is. Like, I can't buy it. He's like, no, find it. Find out how much it is. And so he like, you know, snagged some sales girl. And so she went to like go unhook it, like this big pain in the ass thing to find out how much it was. And it was like $32, which in the old days when I was working, no problem. Would have bought it for myself in the minute. That's the, you know, benefit of like no responsibility as a child-free wonder kid. But I can't do that kind of shit now. And he kept trying to encourage me to buy it no matter how many times I kept saying like, no, dude, I can't afford it. Like, no, like quit badgering me, dude. And it's the same with Medicaid. Like, this is obviously he and I have this kind of nonsense in common because we're both on disability and he has Medicaid and I lost it. And it's been a struggle for me trying to get it, which I've explained here before. And I explained to him and I explained that, you know, every person I talk to either drops the ball or doesn't return the phone calls. And the most recent thing was the person didn't send the paperwork like they said they were going to. And so now I was back in a position of waiting for it again. And that if I didn't get it the next day, like basically the day after I was having lunch with him, that I was going to call back and see where the paperwork was. And then he would say like, well, but you deserve to be on it. Like you qualify for Medicaid. Like you've got to get back on it. And then you can get like all these other perks through Providence, like through our health plan. And I explained again, like I know. And I repeated the exact same thing back to him. Like, here's all the efforts that I've made. Here's exactly where I am with it. And then he would repeat the same thing back. But you've got to get back on, get on it. Like you don't. And I'm like, you're not even listening. You just want to tell me. And again, it's just, oh, badgering. Oh, I'm cunty. And, you know, the thing is like, I didn't want, like, I realized, okay, this isn't going to be the kind of friend that I was hoping to have where it's like, oh, I'm going to look forward to going to the art museum with them or maybe doing, like I was thinking, maybe I can do like $5 things where you get like these deep discounts being on disability to certain plays and things. And so like, oh, maybe he'd be somebody that I could go to one of those, you know, in the evening. So I'm not going to something after dark. And that's still a possibility. And Sanchez made the really great suggestion because we chat like girls do, like have him as somebody to go to food banks with, because there was a food bank he recommended to me. And that hasn't happened. Because the one time the month it was open, he had a doctor's appointment. And so after lunch and stuff, like he texted me and said, like, I hope you liked it. I hope it wasn't too heavy and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh no, it's great. Like, thank you very much. And you know, and I had told him when I was, you know, leaving lunch, like I still had to spend the rest of the night reading a book and watching a movie for my second book club, because that weekend I had book clubs back to back. And I said that I, you know, knew I was going to be super busy with limited energy in general. And I knew this for myself, and I didn't say this initially to him, but I've been going through like a real huge major depressive phase, I guess is the best way to put it. Look it up. Sassy. It's for the past few weeks, it's just been, I'm crying more than I have been in a long time, in that I've been crying every day, which I hadn't been doing for quite a while. And I know what it is. It's the steamroll effect. I know the chicken egg of anxiety leads to depression. And I have, you know, a psych eval on Thursday. I'm finally getting towards some medical stuff finally happening that I've also had stalled out on because of the Medicaid nightmare. But it's been a really difficult couple of weeks for me. And that just sucks all my energy. And I was explaining that to a friend of mine, and she's like, oh, spoon theory. And I'm like, spoon theory. And it's this idea for people with chronic illness that like you have, you know, you're only given a, you know, a set amount of spoons every morning. And for each task that you have, you use a spoon. And when you're out of spoons, you're out of spoons, whether it's the beginning of the day or you make them last all day long. Once you're out, and then you get new ones the next day. I'm not explaining it very well. But it's really tiring having depression. But, you know, I skipped all that and just, like, again, I knew my book clubs that I had. I knew my doctor's appointments that I had. There was a food bank that I was going to try to go to, but it didn't happen. So anyway, so like I said, it's just like I wake up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning and I'm exhausted and ready for the day to be done by fucking 11 a.m. And it's not even necessarily because I've gone out and done anything. That's just how it works. It's kind of, it's great. So I was like very clear, like, you know, I'm really busy this upcoming week. Thanks for lunch. It was great. Busy this upcoming week, but I should be able to be social the last week of March. Like super clear, super polite, like a normal human being. And then he reached out to invite me over that week. The week that I just said that I couldn't do anything. And I explained again that I was busy, but again, I was still like the last week in March. That's when I can be social again. But I'm busy this week. And as that week got to be around Friday, he reached out again to see if I wanted to hang out maybe that night, even though I've said I don't go out after dark. Or maybe I'd want to hang out that Saturday, even though I said that I would reach out to him when I could be social the last week of March. I felt a little bit badgered again. Again, I'm being cunty. What about the word no, don't you understand? So since he wasn't hearing that or reading it, as it were, when I was texting, I laid it out and said, no, I'm not up to hanging out because I'm in a major depressive phase and I just have no energy or interest in people or anything except staying home. I'll reach out when I'm ready to be social, hopefully the last week of March. And he responded, quote, well, maybe since we both feel like shit, we can feel like shit together. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm the only one that feels put out by that kind of thing. The fact that I'm continually having to answer your texts explaining why I'm not hanging out with you because I made it really fucking clear 5 messages ago when I could. I've never not shown up and not hung out when I said I could. So the fact that you can't wait a fucking week as a grown-ass man who isn't after my ass. I did mention he's gay, right? So there's none of that shit going on. No, it's just needy man syndrome. I know I'm a cunt. So I texted back that I guess I didn't explain myself well with major depressive. Well, I said I didn't. Ugh. So he's like, maybe we can feel like shit together. So that's when I texted back. I know, I'm repeating myself. That I guess I didn't explain major depressive episode well, and I sent him a Wikipedia link or like a PsychMD or WebMD or some kind of online definition of what major depression is, and then when it's recurrent, then that means you have an episode of it, and that's what I'm in, and it sucks balls. Not yours. And, I haven't heard from him since. And, this is the last week of March, and I'm not reaching out as planned because, more shit came up for me that I didn't expect when I originally thought that I could be social. Like, I have to go to the food bank tomorrow, and I have a psych evaluation on Thursday. And, that's gonna be a lot of crying. Thursday is going to be a lot of crying. Tomorrow, I'm really going to try to hold it together at the food bank. And I'm also going to try not to talk to any single human being, because every time I do, it turns out gross. What is this? My cat just wandered in. See, I notice when my cat comes in. There's a big difference between me and him. I don't badger people. I hope I don't badger people. I don't think I do badger people. I'd like to say that the two people here in this lovely city that I most wanted to rekindle and build on my friendship with has been happening. It took longer than I wanted, because again, I was a needy, desperate fuck, and so that doesn't help anything. And they also had very complicated things going on. But the awesome thing is once we started communicating clearly with each other about what was going on, then everything was great. So if I don't hear from them, I know why. Like, I don't take it personally and I don't bother them. And same, they do the same with me. It's this whole weird, crazy mutual respect thing. And getting to know each other on a deeper level. It's kind of great. And, you know, you can't make that happen with somebody just because you have stuff in common. And that's, you know, I don't, like, some people never realize that. Like, I'm just now fucking realizing that. There are people that I have stuff in common with, but that does not mean that there's any reason at all for us to be friends. For a wide variety of reasons. Runs the gamut. And yes, like I said, I originally didn't want to write Charles off. I wanted to have him as like maybe a $5 theater buddy or something. But that persistence just really starts things off badly. At least for me. Oh, before I finish with Charles here. Here's the other reason why I found it maddening. Because he did, you know, say and do that thing or talk that line or whatever that guys will do about, you know, they just can't understand what it must be like to have to deal with pushy guys. And then they turn around and do the exact same thing. Jesus, dude. Or maybe he doesn't think he's doing it because he's not trying to get his dick wet. But it's like, no, pushy is pushy. Badgering is badgering. Not hearing when I tell you when yes will be, and you won't hear no in the meantime. At your age, fuck off. Okay, so let's get to the other thing that I'm quitting. Because I'm just being a goddamn hero this week when it comes to quitting. Got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Said it before, I'm going to say it again. These are my index cards. Okay, so the gardening, the Kailash Eco Village gardening, which I really enjoyed the first time that I went. I had some reservations, but I still really enjoyed it. This last time, I absolutely hated it. And I know part of the problem is, like I said, my little phase that I'm in is so delightful. But when I have something like the commitment to go to the gardening thing on Sunday to do, and I know that I'm kind of like life is an uphill battle for me right now, then I'll do a lot of other things around that to kind of make my life easy and nice, so it makes it more likely that I can do things, and coping skills. What can I say? Coping skills. It's like Saturday, I went to a movie for free. And so I got out there, fresh air and social, and I got to see my friends at the movie theater, like talking about the whole deeper understanding friendship. Like, that's one of the friends. And so that was all very good. And so it's like, I got like all this nice, like, this is all very, very nice. And I'm very lucky. And plus I got to see that awesome tweaker fight. Motherfucker. bleeding from your asshole. So I was in a really good mood going into gardening on Sunday. But I'm also really sensitive about feeling like an outsider. And I also have a really hard time in group settings. Like, that's why I won't go to parties. I can handle crowds when I'm going to see a band because the focus is on the band. But even that I haven't done in literally years. I think the last crowd stuff, well, no, I went to go see the Residents last year, last April. And then I'm going to go to Bridgetown Comedy Fest. But like group stuff, it doesn't work for me. It works really well in the book club setting because it's very structured. It's very organized. It's indoors. You know what the expectations are. There's no right or wrong. It's a completely different group dynamic. And it's one that works really well for me. And so that's the one I'm trying to maximize. I'm going to keep like pushing on, whatever, fuck. This group dynamic is, it's a bunch of people who they all live together except me. So I'm already on the outside there. That's just the reality of it. And we're split into different teams to do different tasks, which sounds great and perfect because that means structure and order and rules. And I can do that very, very, like, that's perfect. But the problem is the teams aren't well built. What I mean is there are some really experienced gardeners there, and then there are some inexperienced kind of sad sacks, and then me, the outsider, also an inexperienced sad sack. Well, the inexperienced sad sacks were all kind of put together on one team, and the team leader is super passive. Like, when he's about to give instructions, which is like what we need, like instructions are good, guidance is good, he'll preface it with like, well, I'm not trying to micromanage, but it's like, oh my God, are we living in that passive society here? Like, okay, I'm a cunt. I get it. But it's that kind of like wishy-washy. It just felt like mud. And it was muddy. It was super muddy. And then there's just like little things that bothered me. Like, I know last time when I was talking about it, I think I mentioned this guy, we'll call him Amit, who, like, when we were talking about photography, I said, oh, what do you like to photograph? And he's like, anything that'll pay money. Okay. Otherwise he doesn't carry around his camera. He doesn't care about photography at all. Unless it pays money, he does not care. Okay. That's the end of the conversation for me. So that was my impression of him last time. Not my impression, like I'm Rich Little. You don't even know who Rich Little is. So this time, I went outside and John was out there, who's a super friendly guy, and Ahmet was out there and they were talking, and I came outside to join them while we waited for Nathan, this other guy on the team. And John started like pulling me into the conversation because he's like a nice, normal human being. And Ahmet not only cut me off, but he kind of did this thing where he like stepped and put his back to me, like not completely between me and John, but it's like, why am I suddenly seeing your back when you were standing next to me? Why did you just pivot on your foot? What the fuck? It just was weird. It did not make me feel good. And like I said, it was muddy. Oh, wait, hang on, kitty cat. I had to pull the curtain aside for little Millie to jump up in the other window. We're in the bedroom without security camera, but I still have my other phone open, and I'm watching the parking lot while I talk. It's very exciting, this technology. Okay, so like I said, it was really muddy and raining on and off, and they had too many people there. So half of us were just standing around like, is there something we can do to help? And it's just like, but everybody kind of wants to hang around because there's going to be like a meal served at 11 instead of at noon, like whatever, like the feast. And then you get like whatever food has been harvested. And at that point, I was just getting, like, by 10 o'clock, we started at 9. By 10 o'clock, I was ready to walk. But then I was like, no, let me at least stick it out until the feast and then see how that goes. But I was really fucking fed up because Ahmet, like, remember in school when you would have, like, some bullshit group project, which means, like, you're lumped together with 5 other assholes and only 2 people do all of the work and have to carry everybody else's fucking load? It was like that. So Ahmet is just walking around with, like, a seedling in his hand just to look busy, but he's not really doing anything with it. Somebody said, you know, why don't you go get a hoe, you know, like, not a hoe, but those little diggy tools that I'm forgetting the name for, trowel, whatever. She's like, you know, why don't you get, like, one? And I mean, we're all using the same tool. So it's like, basically, like, why don't you just, like, go get one of those tools? And he's like, well, if I knew what that is, I would get it. And they're like, well, it's this, and here it is. Like, we're stating the obvious for you because you're just wandering around with a seedling, not really paying attention. Or he's just wandering around looking at his fucking cell phone. Dude, this is an eco-village, and we're gardening. What the fuck are you doing wandering around looking at your cell phone while I'm on my hands and knees in the fucking mud, you piece of shit? This is not good for me. And like I said, there was the whole thing of the one extreme of being passive, of like, I don't mean to micromanage. It's like, no, you're telling us how to plant things. That's what you're supposed to do. And then the other extreme, you know, we're like meeting ahead of time. And this one guy, John, is talking, like, they're talking about the seedlings. And should we put the seedlings in the ground with the ground being as wet as it is? And John is saying that from the books that he read, you know, we should put the seedlings in the ground. And then British Neil, the old punk rock guy who loves to hear himself talk, said, well, you know, I didn't have books. Nature taught me well. Like, oh, you self-righteous prick. I'm such an asshole. And John was like, well, you know, sometimes if you're new to something and learning like I was, books are useful. And Neil was like, well, but you know, nature still knows best. And I was like, oh, fucking dear God. Like, okay, again, maybe it's just because I'm in a phase. But the back and forth of the gotta have the last word, like, that's just how it felt to me. And it meant that I just started, like, just like recoiling in my seat, just like shrinking. And I looked at my hands in my lap and I had, like, my fingers all, like, twisted in on each other. Like, you know, it's like, why are mommy and daddy fighting? Don't make me turn this car around. Like, it just was really unpleasant, like, really quickly. And again, it's like, well, this isn't good for me. So then, you know, Neil went off to go to this other land site to go pick up some other things needed for the cropping. And so while he was gone, the woman was like, yeah, we're putting those seedlings in the ground. Fuck Neil and his nature. I mean, that's not how she put it, but it was kind of like, you know, somebody had to take control and she was going to do it. So fuck yeah. So we're there, you know, out in the rain, and Ahmet is complaining about how long the rainy season's been. Cause like I said, it's been raining nonstop for 6 months here, which is longer than normal. And he was complaining that because he rides a bike in the rain. And then he pointed to, like, John and said, and Ahmet said, because I don't have a fancy car like you do. I don't have any car. And John's like, I don't have a fancy car. And Ahmet's like, well, I don't have any car. And I said, I don't have a bike or a car. I was just like, fuck you. I just said, like, yeah, I walk and bus everywhere. Like, I can't ride a bike. It would not be good for me. It would not be good for humanity. Just like the reason why I don't drive. And Ahmet was like, not even an e-bike? And I'm like, oh my God, you prick. What did you just not hear me say that I said I can't do? So if I said I can't do this except with an e-bike, then I would have fucking said with an... short fuse. short fuse I have. And so, yeah, I just said, no, I walk and I take the bus. And he said that, you know, Ahmet was like, well, I won't ride the bus because the one time I did go, I was accosted. And we were like, accosted? Like what happened? And this one guy had to ask what accosted meant. And John explained how broad of a term it was. And I said, yes, Ahmet, that's why I want to know exactly what happened when you say accosted. Like, did someone threaten you? Like were you hit? And he goes, no one hit me. And I said, did somebody threaten you? And he goes, no one threatened me. I said, did someone insult you? And he's like, no, but I just didn't feel safe. And I couldn't, like, I just started laughing about, like, he didn't feel safe. And I just said, like, well, you know, that's how it is all the time for women. You know, it's like, I'm an asshole. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I get it. It's, but some of us don't have a choice. You know, that's just, you get off the bus if you have to. That's just, yep. Yeah, he won't take pictures unless it's for money. And riding a bus with transients made him feel accosted. I don't know. Maybe he's got anxiety and PTSD issues too, and he's just not like a weirdo open book about it like I am. I shouldn't judge. But I really got a super classist vibe from him because this was kind of the other interesting thing. Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, sorry about that. I just got distracted by the parking lot. Somebody came in with a dog, which one is one of the major rules in this complex. You're not supposed to have a dog. But you know what? I don't fucking care. I say have a dog. If you can walk it yourself, clean its own shit. Although you're living in an apartment and you really, it's not fair to the dog. But I don't care about it being against the rules, man. Just dogs are cute. Fuck the rules. Back to Ahmet. So we were standing out there in the rain. I was on my hands and knees in the mud. And Neil was talking about the fact that he can't go back to the United Kingdom, to the whole England world where he is from. But he couldn't really say why. He left 30 years ago. So I can't imagine what there isn't a statute of limitations on from 30 years ago except murder. I don't know. That's just kind of interesting. So apparently he can't go back. And then Ahmet would love nothing more than to be an American citizen. Apparently he can't go back to where he's from. He's from Israel. Oh, that's what he was talking to John about when I went outside. He was saying that, like, at least Trump was smart hiring Jews to handle all of his money. And John and I were like, well, if that was from a non-Israeli, that would be a really racist comment. But then again, it might still be a really racist comment because just because you're Israeli doesn't mean you're a Jew. Like, what? Anyway, Ahmet can't go back to Israel because he owes a fuck ton in taxes. Yep, that's why he is can't go back home again. And one of the people working there was like, well, why don't you just, because he really wants to be a U.S. citizen just because, you know, it'll be easier for him to live life that way. And so somebody said, well, like, why don't you find a woman to marry? And he said that it was too late because, apparently, like, if he had done it a year ago, If he'd done it a year ago, he'd be fine. But now he's passed his visa, so he is technically an illegal. Like, I don't know if Neil is. I'm pretty sure he's not, because, I mean, he uses his name in pictures all over Facebook, so he must not have been a murderer. I just don't think he wants to get back to England. I don't think it's a matter that he can't. Anyway. But from it, yeah, he's passed his visa, so he can't really work legally at all. he can't get married now because then that would put him on the radar from being here past his visa time. And, you know, he didn't flee to this country for political freedom or persecution. He just didn't want to pay money that he owed back in Israel. So that's cool. How's that gardening for you, wandering around with your cell phone? Didn't pick up a tool or dirty your hands the entire fucking time. Yeah, that's kind of when I realized nope, this isn't for me. This is not the experience that I want. You know, like I said, I have a hard time with groups, and so I kind of have this line of extremes. The best kind of group for me is the book club, like the library one. I don't even care if I'm going to say anything or not because I'm so interested in what other people have to say. But then I do end up saying stuff and I don't sound like an idiot and I'm appreciated and feel welcome and it's awesome. So like that's the gold standard. Like that's to aim for. That's aiming high, but that's what I'm aiming for. And then the worst was, you know, my experience working at Freightliner back in South Carolina and being bullied every day on the fucking job. That's my worst group experience. And fortunately, Kailash kind of fell far closer towards the work scale end versus the book club end. Yeah. You know, maybe if it was a group of like half a dozen women, I'd be just fine. But yeah, it's not for me. So I sent an email to Wendy saying that's not for me. I actually didn't even stick around for the feast. I was so fucking covered in mud that I couldn't have gone inside without making a mess. I mean, you have to take your boots off anyway, which is fine. But the front of my pants was so covered in mud. And I know that there was mud on the seat of my pants that I, you know, told John. It's like, I can't bring this inside. Like, that's not cool. And he's like, I'd do it. And I, you know, kind of wanted to say, well, like, of course you would do it because that's what men do. But I don't do that kind of thing. Except I didn't even say that. And yeah, I just wandered off with no food, empty belly, covered in mud, vowing never to return. And emailed Wendy saying that I just didn't think I was a good match. You know, like I'm an outsider and I just don't have a skill set. And she wrote back a very nice email wanting me to give it one more shot. And I did tell her I was going to, you know, take a couple of days to think it over, which isn't true. I just didn't want to have to respond for a couple of days. And like I said, she's like, oh, well, you know, please do think about it and let me know if there's anything that we can do to, you know, encourage you. We really love having your energy here. Like Sunday was a rough day for everyone. And if you need rain gear or anything, like we've always got extra supplies, like, you know, like we've been trying to get other people from the neighborhood to join, but nobody else would join. So we know it's hard you being the only one. Like, we'd really like you to give it another try. And which wasn't badgering at all. It didn't feel like badgering at all. Like, she heard me out, and she made very concrete offers of ways to, like, meet me halfway and help, which was, like, awesome. She heard what I said and responded to it accordingly. That's the difference between that and badgering. Who cares? So, but, yeah, I'm still not going to do it. I'm not going to explain all the petty details of, like, you know, certain men just drive me fucking insane wandering around their cell phones and being privileged pieces of shit. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to explain that I don't do well in groups and that I thought I did because I was doing well in book club, but I realized that it has to do with the fact that that's a very structured kind of group. And so whatever, no harm, no foul, just didn't happen. And I felt a huge sense of relief when I decided, because like when I came home, I just started bawling, and it was the bawling of disappointment. Ooh, that sounded sexy, but no, it's the I really thought it was going to be this great thing, and yet people were being petty bickering. People were just was unpleasant. Just people's behavior was unpleasant. And there's enough of that. And so there you go. There you go. It feels nice to bail out on it. I'll have my Sundays back to do other things with, like maybe another goddamn book club. Okay. This really is going to be the last one that I record this week because I have talked way too much about nothing. But we're almost caught up. I mean, I really don't need to talk about food bank again. I'm sure nothing will happen tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be just fine. I'm sure nobody will be creepy. I'm being smart. I'm bringing my little red granny cart. Instead of carrying heavy bags, I'm going to wheel it like a Polish grandma. You know, Sanchez, I feel like I'm a younger, cooler version of your mom. Like you mentioned your mom and agoraphobia and stuff. You know, basically your mom's like riddled with some kind of anxiety. So yeah, I'm like a younger version of that. Kind of cool. I don't know. I should make dinner at this point and just stop talking. It's weird to talk this much in one day by myself to a phone with my cat. God damn, that was some fucking hooker last night. I really think they were shooting up in the car. I know I said I wasn't going to talk anymore about my neighbors. I was going to post it on Twitter. But I haven't. It's going to take me a while to like dig through the footage. My God, that was some fucking ass crack, though. Okay. All right, there you go. Just, I quit. All right, bye.